Hans Olsen, Scott Girard, 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone. 2:30 up and down the Wasatch Front. Big event coming up today, folks. We'll be live on the plaza. JJ and Alex will be there at 3 o'clock doing their show as the NHL is here, folks. The Coyote roster, soon to be the Utah, insert your own nickname that you're very passionate about and have strong opinions on Twitter about, will be here. They are here right now. A lot of great videos of them checking out the new digs. And we're ready to rock and roll, folks. They'll be introduced to the crowd coming up at 5:30. The festivities begin at 4 o'clock. There'll be a press conference at 4 o'clock that we'll carry here on the Zone. But go down. We want, look, these are going to be moments that you're going to remember for a long time. So go home, grab the kids, get back to the Delta Center, grab some free hot dogs, feed the kids, meet the hockey players, enjoy a moment that you're going to remember for a long time, because it's a big moment for the state of Utah and the history of sports here in the state of Utah.
What's funny is I just get into, like, on the field or on the ice mode, and I've already kind of put all this stuff behind me. I like the naming and all that. I put it behind me.
It's
okay, whatever. Compete. Freaking compete. Get in there and win games. And I've already seen, I went and followed this NHL trade rumors. If you don't follow it on X.
Yeah.
It's just at NHL trade rumors. And yesterday, this was the tweet they sent. NHL rumor alert. Could Clayton Keller be headed to Montreal this offseason? Right now, Clayton Keller is the best thing that the Coyotes have going for them. He is the best thing that is coming to the state of Utah. As far as on-the-ice production, he's the best thing that you got. He was one of the top 30 in points. And remember, points is goals and assists. He was a top 30 in points with 76. And his name has already been included in different rumors about leaving to go to Montreal. So I don't give a crap about names, and I don't give a crap about colors, and I'm excited. I'm going to go down and party in this, and I'm going to eat a bunch of free J-Dogs. But what I want, to make sure Clayton Keller isn't going anywhere.
Yeah.
Because I think he's the best thing that you got on the ice. What I want is make sure that Nick Schmaltz feels really good here in Salt Lake City. What I want is these guys to feel comfortable so that when they take the ice in September, you and I aren't talking about, now that's the Jazz and...
Yeah, we got enough of that on the Jazz.
Yeah, the Jazz and Utah. Oh, both of them. I don't want to do that. I want to talk about a team that's coming together, that's playing playoff-type hockey, that we get to see what we're watching right now. Like, you watch the... I know we're both watching the Florida series.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
The Panthers and the Lightning, and we're learning a lot. Watched the Avalanche last night. My homework has been the Golden Knights and the Stars. That's who I've really focused on. And I want to see that type of hockey. Don't just put an NHL team here in Utah and ship Clayton Keller off and say, well, it's going to take 5 years. That'll hurt.
Yeah.
Don't do that.
That's not going to help right out of the gate. All right. A man who has been with us every step of the way on our short but very intense NHL journey, Frank Saravalli, kind enough to join us right here on 97.5 the KSL Sports Zone. Hockey insider, president of hockey content for the Daily Faceoff. And he's here in studio, man. How are you?
What's up, Frank?
In the flesh.
Yeah. Yes, sir, man.
Good to be with you guys.
Yeah, nice to have you.
Said it. You made it. It feels like I've known you guys forever.
I know,
it's
right?
Been 3 weeks.
Yeah. Well, I'll tell you what. We joked about this a little bit. You are a very popular man when the news broke that, hey, you know what? The NHL's building schedules for both Arizona and Salt Lake City for teams coming in, and it could go either way. But let's be honest, you know, we've all been in the sports media for a long time. What you actually say and report, usually you've known for a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
So when did Ryan Smith, when did Salt Lake City really hop up on your radar in terms of, wow, this isn't just pie in the sky stuff. This could actually really happen.
The day Ryan Smith put out the press release saying that he wanted a team. You don't do that. I told you guys before, you've got to kiss the ring.
Yeah.
You've got to play by the NHL's rules and Commissioner Gary Bettman. And he played it to a T. Absolutely perfect. The playbook was well executed. And the second I saw that, at that exact juncture in time, I was like, they're well down the track already. And it wouldn't shock me if at that point in February, the commissioner had already gone to Ryan Smith and nailed down that end of the deal. The next part was just about just trying to get Arizona on board.
How long do you think Bettman was like, we're done. We're done in Phoenix. We're done in Arizona. We've got to move this. How long do you think it's been gnawing at him, sitting with that embarrassment, that eyesore that's been an arena dispute and issue for a given amount of time?
I actually don't think it's been that long. I think it's sometime this season that they formally, internally said to themselves, we got to do something about this. Because think about it. They permitted the team to move to Mullett Arena, a college facility on Arizona State's campus, to begin with. You don't let that happen if you're not interested in seeing it through to the other side in the desert. They were.
Yeah.
I think they lost faith in the owner. They lost faith in the ability, his ability to get an arena built. And they said, this isn't the best course of action for the other 31 teams that we have.
Gary Bettman said in the press conference last Friday, he said, look, there's no boilerplate copy of what we're doing right now. Where, you know, Phoenix, you know, Morelos still have the opportunity, if they can get an arena built, to get a team right back.
Whole thing's odd, by the way, anyway.
I know, right?
Him saying, I still own the team. Like, no, but they're in Salt Lake.
Yeah.
You don't own, you own a logo.
Yeah. And a little bit of history, and that's it. You know, and so Salt Lake.
Not great history, by the way.
No, exactly.
Nothing you want to brag about.
Salt Lake gets a roster, but essentially an expansion, but they get the roster.
No, I mean, it's a relocation
it's a weird deal.
They just had to change the name to suit this really unique structure of a deal, which is, look, feel good over here. You know, hey, we're taking your team, but maybe we'll see you someday. It's not you, it's us. The old breakup where you try and make them feel good on the way out.
Yeah. I heard that a lot in college. I know where you're at.
The breakup?
Yeah. It's not you, it's me.
Yeah. The other thing that was said in that presser was, we're keeping the people because that's all we got. It sounds like that's literally all Ryan Smith got in this purchase, was management, coach, and players. He's going to be purchasing.
Well, plus the right to run an NHL franchise.
Right.
That's really what you're buying. The people are great. The draft picks, awesome. Prospects, cool. You're buying the right to have a seat at the table in the highest level of professional hockey.
Outside of that, what is it like, or what can you envision it being like getting yourself geared up from the ice to the nets to the sticks to everything else? I mean, is that a big process, or do you think that's a small undertaking?
That'll be the easiest part of this transition. My guess is someone from the Coyotes facility group either is moving here with the team, or they're going to pay to help with the transition temporarily, get them up and running again, take care of all that stuff, build the locker room, have input on how this all gets put together, the machinations of building it. You'll have travel people pick out, you know, the plane and hotels and all the stuff you need, and you'll have someone help you with your schedule, and the Jazz have ticket sales people and premium seating. That part is all turnkey. And the hockey stuff, the hockey ops side, it's mostly going to run itself. It's its own self-operating entity in any team anyway. It's almost like the hockey people are over here, and you've got the business ops and ticket sales over here. They're just doing it in a different state.
What is the, if you're Ryan Smith right now, and or you're the front office of the new Utah team, what is the thing that keeps you up at night the most? What are the, in this entire transition process, what do you think, if there's hiccups, what do you think those are, and what are the potential, not, you know, landmines, but issues that are going to arise over these next 5 or 6 months?
Fans can, and I'm not speaking for fans in Salt Lake City, I'm speaking in terms of the general world. Fans can understand arena issues, imperfect setup with hockey, with the way that this is going to be at Delta Center for a little while. They can understand some programming stuff, logo, colors, however long that takes to roll out. If I were Ryan Smith, what would be keeping me up at night is trying to make the transition from rebuilding team to winning team. And there's two parts to that. The first one is, yes, you want to hit the ground running and be competitive, but the second and perhaps more important is to have a sustainable chance to win. And you don't want to cut off the latter part for the immediate gratification in the first part. But if you look at teams' expansion, relocation, whatever it might be, in hockey specifically, the teams that don't work, the teams that don't generate fans, the teams that don't generate big business are the ones that don't win. It's as plain and simple as that. There's not anything more complex to it.
Well, speaking of winning, you know, we've been an NBA market for a lot of years, and Scotty and I have been on air together for 10 years, but we've been in this market for about 20. And we've watched the evolution of the Utah Jazz and the NBA and the fan support. And one thing that's been really difficult is free agency in the NBA. You know, the best free agent I think we've ever seen come in here to the state of Utah is probably Carlos Boozer. And that's been a lot of years ago. And one of the things that I projected, the reason I feel like the NHL can do better here than the NBA is because I feel like NHL players are less likely to say, nah, that's not where I want to be. Frank, in your
estimation, why do you think NBA players say no?
Well, I think it's just more of the nightlife that they're looking for. It's their upbringing. It's just their interests.
I mean, frankly, there was a joke, and we actually had T-shirts made that said nightlife on it because the Golden State Warriors was playing a playoff series here, and one of the I was Steph or Clay or I can't remember which one of the players goes, I don't want to go. Was it Draymond Green?
Yeah.
Goes, I don't want to go to Salt Lake. I want to spend as little time as possible. There's no nightlife. There's nothing to do there.
Yeah.
And so for an NBA player, the knock is, you know, it's predominantly white. It's a religious-based community. You know, all the broad-brush statements you can make.
It's freezing cold in the winter.
You know.
No, that's going to bother hockey players.
Yeah, exactly. So
that's my point. I mean, all of those things together, whether they can't be as worried about the cold because, of course, I want to play in South Beach in the winter. Of course I want to play in Phoenix in the winter. But if I'm a hockey player, you're coming from Canada, you're coming from Switzerland, you're coming from Russia, and I've got to imagine
this isn't even cold.
I know, right?
This is a treat.
Yeah, your surroundings can't mean as much. That's why I feel like NHL free agency here in Utah, they should be able to have more success with it.
NHL players are going to want three things, a chance to win, a nice place to live with decent restaurants, and an owner who's going to take care of them. That's it.
That's it. They'll come.
That's all. Look, I guarantee you today, NHL players, even in the playoffs, are paying attention to what this reception is like tonight at Delta Center. They want to know, are there fans there? Do people care? There's been some markets that they've showed up in and, hey, we're having a parade today to welcome our new NHL team, and 80 people show up.
Wow. So this is a big moment. Like
This is the start of sending that message and setting the tone.
Oh.
Well, we're hoping. I mean, they haven't had a lot of time to put this together, and really this has only been an announcement since, what, Friday?
Yeah.
Thursday?
Friday night
that we'd be having this Wednesday party. So it's not like, you know, the potential fans have had a lot of time to plan. They're rolling out free hot dogs and free desserts and free drinks.
Well, that was enough to get me here.
Yeah, let's go, man.
And if it's enough to get Frank here, I'm just hoping that we see. So what is the image of that? What would be the picture of that that would say that was successful?
Rabid support. Yeah. And it doesn't need to be massive numbers. Look at what they're coming from. They were playing in a 4,500-seat arena. These guys want to feel like they're playing in the NHL again.
Did that sell out every night?
Yes.
The 4,500 seats were sold and mm-hmm. packed. Okay. Mm-hmm.
Frank Saravalli, kind enough to join us. We'll take a quick break, wrap this show up next, and get everybody down to the Delta Center. JJ and Alex will be broadcasting live at 3 o'clock. Make sure to stop by. Hey, you just heard Frank say it, too. Like, these players are going to be judging their new home a lot on what you do as a fan, and if you're going to be there showing up and supporting this team. Remember, it's also streamed on KSLSports.com, but we'll wrap it up next. 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone.
Standing here beside you, want so much to give you this love in my heart that I'm feeling for you. Never
All right, wrapping up another edition of the show. Frank Saravalli kind enough to hang out with us for one more segment. All right, Frank, just some rapid-fire stuff here before we let you go. And, again, can't thank you enough for walking across the street and coming up here and hanging out with us before the event in the Delta Center. What are off-season expectations for this roster? Hands just threw out maybe some trade rumors that might be out there. Now that you've got a GM that doesn't that has an owner that's saying, what resources do you need? Let's pump some money into this. What do you anticipate this offseason could look like for this club?
Probably pretty aggressive without sacrificing the future. I think that's the easiest way to frame it. Unless someone raises their hand and says they don't want to be here, which I don't have anywhere close to an indication that that would be the case, I think these guys are going to be blown away today.
Yeah.
That they're all going to want to be part of it. It's just like being part of an expansion team, except you come in and you know everyone. It's even better than that. So these guys are going to get the juice of, hey, what it was like to play in Seattle or Vegas the last couple years and how awesome that experience was. I heard you guys talking, the Clayton Kellers, the Lawson Krause, all those guys, I'd be shocked if they're not in the lineup for Utah Hockey Club or whatever they're calling it in the fall.
So I was just talking about one of the X accounts that I followed. It's NHL Rumors.
Okay.
Is that?
Probably, yeah. I'm not going to slag anyone, but probably you could find better sources than that. I'll say that.
Anything that you could kind of suggest for people to follow that has, you know, really, because
I think the big one is Frank_Saravalli.
Yeah.
Is the one you need to be following. Yeah.
Look, there's lots of other insiders. There's five or six of us. There's lots of reporters for each of the teams around the league that you can follow. The main rights holders, Sportsnet in Canada, here in the U.S., ESPN, TNT, follow the Spit and Chicklets guys and their podcast. Like,
they're good.
Whatever your flavor is, there's something for you in the hockey world.
Really quick, just on a rules thing, can you just define offsides and icing? Those two things. Like, what exactly is the offsides and what exactly is the icing?
So the easiest way to boil down offsides is the puck must enter the offensive zone before you do.
And that's the blue line just past the half point.
Correct.
Okay.
And in toward the direction where you're going.
So what if it exits that but enters back while there's somebody already there?
Well, that's called a tag up, and so you can actually hold the puck outside the blue line and wait till everyone clears and fire it back in.
So once it exits, people have to clear.
Yep.
Wow. Okay. And then the icing.
Icing is you have to get to the red line before you can fire it into the offensive end into the ice. So if you shoot the puck down the other end of the ice from your own end, then they'll blow the whistle. It's icing, and the faceoff is in your zone. Not only is it in your zone, but the sort of the penalty of that is you can't change your players if you're tired, and you can't, the other team can pick which side of the ice they want to take the faceoff on. So there's some confusing aspects of hockey in the sense that if you want to take it a step further with icing, you can't ice the puck when it's even strength, but once you take a penalty and you're shorthanded, you actually are permitted to ice the puck for those 2 minutes or however long the penalty lasts. There's nuances.
Oh, I know. And, do they blow the whistle if a guy has a chance to go get it or is in pursuit of it? Like
there's a race, yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
Yep, to the dot.
It's been funny. My 12-year-old is all in on hockey now. And so he's been sending me YouTube tutorial videos on rules. He's like, Dad, you can't sound like a moron. You gotta get up to speed. And he's sending me all these videos on stuff like that. It's just fascinating because, you know, when you don't grow up with it, Hans and I are both, you know, Southern Idaho guys. And so hockey wasn't even an option to play, let alone watch or really be involved in. And when you don't pick up a sport as a kid and you try to learn it as an adult, it's kind of an interesting,
interesting
adjustment.
It's like trying
for
to
us.
Learn a language.
Yeah,
now.
Exactly.
It's a different kind of understanding
yeah.
of it than, you
but
know.
It's been so much fun to watch. And I think hockey is going to resonate here in Salt Lake City because this is a blue collar town. And hockey players are, you know, obviously well compensated, especially the great ones. But they're also, they have that blue collar mentality that I think is going to resonate with this fan base. And Frank, I think this thing's going to blow up. I think it is going to be absolute a massive success here in Utah.
I'm with you. That's why I'm here. That plus they're easily relatable. Not only do many of them have blue collar roots, but a lot of these guys are from small town Western Canada. They're from small town somewhere that they've got three things there. Yeah. A pub, a pizza place, and a rink. And that's it. And these guys find their way to the NHL. And they don't change. They don't all of a sudden get there and they're like, they're too big for everyone else. Yeah. They're the same guys, and that's part of the endearing quality of hockey.
Boy, have we seen that with a lot of NBA players.
A lot of that. I will tell you, I was watching the Florida series, as I mentioned yesterday, and it was the first time that I'd sat and listened to the studio crew. Is it PK Subban?
Yep.
He was good. Is that a liked voice in the world?
Yeah, he's...
He was entertaining.
I mean,
former
Norris Trophy winning best defenseman in the league. Really talented guy that has now gotten his start in media in his mid-30s.
And who's the older guy that's next to him?
Messier.
Mark Messier.
Yeah.
Five-time Stanley Cup winner?
Yeah. A lot of people remember him. Was it 94 with the Rangers?
The Guarantee?
Yeah. Good stuff.
That studio crew is pretty good, Scotty.
Yeah, no, I've been dialed in on
it,
too.
But if you want a different flavor, you can watch TNT, and they've got a whole different thing. They've jokes, and it's kind of like TNT with basketball.
Okay.
It's not serious. ESPN, maybe a little bit more serious. Whatever you want, whatever your flavor is, that's what you can get.
The head coach, he sent out some tweets earlier today about how fired up he is. Win-loss record hasn't been what he wants it to be. Just give us evaluation on the coaching staff and the quality that you feel like they bring to the table.
Okay, I'm going to overstate this, but Andre Tournier, for the last number of years, the requirement to be head coach of the Arizona Coyotes, you needed to come to work every day with body armor and a good life insurance policy. Because you are going to battle every day as coach of that team. Poor resources, guys that might not want to be there, low on the talent pool scale, a lot of things to pack into a really challenging job in the NHL. Just like Bill Armstrong, their general manager, I'm fascinated to see what Andre Tournier, what do these guys do when you're handed a different set of circumstances?
Love it. Absolutely love it. Frank, thank you so much for coming by, man. We appreciate it.
Thanks, Frank.
My pleasure, guys.